Because we're the family of God. Not Clare Church of the Nazarene, but the people of God. You know, every time I know that I will be standing here speaking to you, I think about what God has been teaching me and the ways that he's been shaping and transforming my life. And one of the areas that God has been working on me is the title of my message today, Don't Look Back. Don't look back. You know, I rarely give a title for a sermon. You know, because when you give a title or a topic, you have certain people who expect that that's what you're going to talk about. It kind of puts you in some restrictions, and so I usually don't give a title. But this morning, you know, don't look back. You know, about 50 years ago, I was much younger then. I drove to Schaumburg, Illinois. Some of you know that's just north, kind of north suburb of Chicago. And I went to Shure Brothers manufacture some of the finest sound equipment in the world. I mean, you know, here on our stage, virtually every microphone here is made by Shure. You know, I mean, all right, you didn't care. You know, I drove to Shure Brothers because already at that point in time, I recognized that there was such a potential value in a quality sound system. It doesn't matter how good a message is. If the sound system doesn't get it to the people where they can hear, then it's not very effective. And that just tells you, if there are Sundays you feel like, that message wasn't that good, blame the sound guys. Anyway, I was there to get a brand new sound system. And I fell in love with sound and sound mixing and went on and done some studies and some work and learning about equalization and standing waves in the room and you know, phase cancellation and things that affect the quality of the sound. And I spent many, many years, if I was in church, I was in the sound booth. You know, every time there was district assembly, district events, when I came to church here on Sunday morning, I was usually in the sound booth and sitting there at the controls, and I loved it. It was part of me. But you know, when it was time for me to take the role as one of the pastors here, I had to give that up. You know, had to quit doing that, quit setting at the controls. And you know, we have to stop looking back so we can move forward. You know, I don't belong there anymore. And I do. I sometimes feel this sense of loss or this sense of grief, because when you lose or leave something that you love, a job or a pet or a person, you know, it's normal to grieve that. And even now, I just want to keep butting in and share my amazing insight. Reach over Joel's shoulder to grab a knob. And they just don't appreciate my help that much. Kind of without saying the words, mind your own business. You know, here's what I'm learning. It's taken years. We have to let go of the past. Past hurts, past successes, past relationships. We have to let it go. As long as I kept trying to hold on to my past, I was going to stay stuck. You know, I had to let it go if I was going to move forward. You know, by the way, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever lost or left something that you loved and you felt like you couldn't move forward? You know, let me tell you, there's life after loss. There's joy after sadness. If we finally let it go and not look back. But you know, we have to let yesterday go. There's a story in the Bible about the city of Sodom. And this city was so evil that God decided to destroy this city. But he sent two angels ahead to warn a single family to get out of town before God rained down the fire and destruction. And these two angels came to a man named Lot and his family, and they warned him to leave, you know, like now. And the angel said to Lot and to his family, he said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Flee to the mountains, or you're going to be swept away. You're going to be toast. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. It came from the Lord out of the heavens. And thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, the entire region around them. He utterly destroyed them. But Lot's wife looked back longingly and was turned into a pillar of salt. Seems a little harsh. I mean, God turns her into a pillar of salt. I don't think God's picking on Lot's wife. God is, as he often does, God is protecting, saving the lives and the future of those people that he loves. He says, don't look back. In fact, the only woman in the Bible that Jesus tells us to remember is Lot's wife. He's teaching, Jesus is teaching about his return. He's teaching about what the Bible has been prophesying and telling us about from the very beginning. And he's talking about being ready. And Jesus says, remember Lot's wife who turned back. And it gives us some context. I appreciate the translation that says that she looked back longingly. Some of yours doesn't say that, but if you look at the commentaries, you'll find that out. And Jesus points that out. Jesus says, don't do that. He said, you know, whoever seeks to save his life, hang on to the past. They're going to lose their life. They're hanging on to the wrong thing. I mean, you know, Lot's wife was told to do one thing. Don't look back. And she flat out disobeyed. But it's more than that. It's how she looked back at the evil city of Sodom. She looked back with desire. She looked back longingly. You know, and we get it, right? When we feel prompted to leave something we love, like our home, job, an unhealthy friendship. It's human nature to look back longingly. Lot's wife was leaving what was familiar and safe to her. And even though it was an evil place, she was so attached to it that she couldn't let it go. I just want to ask you, have you ever been there? Torn between what God is urging you to leave and where he wants you to go. You know, Christine Kane, the author, writes it this way. She said, this is the challenge in everything God invites us to do. But if we linger in the past, we risk becoming stuck and missing the life God wants for us. You know, by the way, this is not a new problem. Remember the children of Israel? God's mighty hand, I mean, delivering them from the oppression and the slavery miraculously. And right in the middle of their newfound freedom, and they're going, you know, we remember the fish that we used to eat for free in Egypt. And we had all of the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic that we wanted. You know, they're on their way to the promised land, to a land that's of milk and honey. And they've just got to look back. And some of you right now are stuck between staying or leaving. You know, like Lot's wife, you don't want to leave what's familiar and comfortable. And you're afraid that if you leave, you might miss out on something or fail at something. And that fear keeps you stuck. You know, can I tell you something? Fear is normal. It's a normal part of everybody's life. Man, I've experienced fear daily for most of my life. But if you're waiting for fear to go away before you move, you'll stay stuck and you'll miss God's best that He had in mind for you. I just need to ask you the question, what's holding you back? You know, what's holding you back from maybe taking a new class, volunteering, offering to do that ministry that's been calling you, going to counseling? You know, can I tell you something? Marriages don't get better. They have to be made better. What's holding you back from getting to counseling? Applying for a new job? Asking her to marry you? By the way, one of the ways of knowing if you need to do a new thing, one of the ways of knowing is that you will experience fear. I mean, just expect it. Is this new thing big enough to scare me? It's never easy. You know, it's never easy to end an unhealthy friendship. It's never easy to start placing appropriate boundaries in our children's lives. It's never easy to start a new career. And let me tell you, don't wait until you're ready. You know, I've never been ready to do anything. I wasn't ready to lead a church. I wasn't ready for marriage. You know, what about having kids? Were you ready for that? I mean, you know, it just happens. There they are. I've never gotten over the fear of public speaking, the fear of standing here in front of a great group of people, the fear that I might just waste your time because I wasn't prepared or I didn't live close enough to God so the Lord could really speak the way that He wanted to. But if we can't let fear stop us. We can't let it stop us from what God has led us to do. You know, before we move on, our looking back is often not just something that we are longing for. That can be one of the things. But sometimes looking back is filled with shame. Sometimes looking back is filled with regrets. Sometimes looking back is filled with things that we don't even want to talk about, things that we don't want to think about anymore. Looking back may be even more debilitating. Sometimes it can leave us feeling hopeless, helpless. So I want to look at a couple of ways that we can get unstuck. You know, the first thing is you got to start looking forward. You got to start looking forward. There has to come a moment in your life and mine where we say to ourselves, I'm done with the past. I'm done with fixating on past mistakes, bad choices, failed relationships. No more looking back. Hebrews 12 is one of my favorite scriptures. It says it this way, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. I love that phrase, fix your eyes. Whereas don't be glancing around. Don't be looking around at other stuff. Fix your eyes. It's like Paul is looking up and he's locking in on Jesus, our leader, our Savior, our example. I still remember almost 60 years ago, learning to drive. And I was twitchy, continuously adjusting. I was staring at the road right in front of me, watching the line. There was only one line then, there wasn't one on the side. Watching the line, continuously adjusting back and forth. You know, I don't know if someone told me. I don't know if someone told me, if I eventually figured it out, but I lifted up my eyes and I looked down the road. I looked ahead at the big picture, where I was going, not staring at the road right over the hood, and it was immediate. No more twitching, no more wandering around the road, no more adjustments. It seemed easy when I started looking where I was going, what was ahead of me. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, this is so important, and it's so not natural, but it's a solution. You know, remember this verse from just a few weeks ago. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. You know, Katie and I bought this clay jar vase. Vase, for those of you who are more sophisticated. This has been our living room for years now. You know, I really like it. I don't know if Katie likes it or if she just puts up with it because she knows I like it. You know, I saw it and I wanted it, brought it home. I watched one day, Katie was vacuuming and she moved it. I guess to vacuum the spot under it. And I don't know why in the world she would do that. I mean, nobody could see the carpet under it. But she did. And when she moved it, she didn't move it out of the way. She moved it just enough so she could get the vacuum in there to cover that all-important, unseen place under it. And I watched this, you know, probably from the comfort of my chair, you know, kind of like the referee at the line at a tennis match. And I remember thinking, to myself, of course, she should have moved it further away. She's going to knock it over. And unfortunately, she doesn't have my superior insight in such matters. And as I'm watching, she is so intent on the spot where it had been and getting it vacuumed that she forgets and she backs into it and it falls over. You know, and I felt this smug satisfaction about being right once again. But it only lasted for just a second because I saw it break into multiple pieces on the floor. And so I was like, all right, let's take it to the garbage. Nice, well lasted. No good now. But unlike me, I actually found some glue and I glued it back together. But I didn't want it anymore. I can't stand imperfections, can't stand cracks and blemishes. I mean, if somebody opens up their car door and they put a little ding or dimple in our car door, I'm done with it. Get rid of it. Sell it. I don't even like it. It's spoiled. But we kept it. This is it. If you look, you'll see the cracks. You'll see where it was glued. I know, some of you are thinking, wow, you know, this guy's our pastor. You know what? I actually grew to love it more. It's a little like me. You know, it has a story. It's been broken. Messed up. It reminds me of what a jerk I can be. But this lady kept on loving me anyway. She kept me around. You know, we have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure isn't the jar. We're the jar. The treasure is what's in the jar, the all-surpassing power of God, and it's not from us. It's because of Jesus. You know, clay pots are common. They're fragile, and that's what we are. But we have this treasure inside of us, the all-surpassing power and presence of Jesus Christ. You know, but a lot of us keep focusing on the clay pot. And what a lot of us do is we focus on the clay pot that's weak and fragile. We focus on the cracks that came from being dropped or damaged. So we think about ourselves. You know, I'm no longer usable. The Bible says we have a power within us that can accomplish things that we cannot do. You know, God says in Isaiah, forget the former things. Forget it. Forget what happened to you. Don't dwell on the past. I love that word. Do not dwell. Don't dwell. Don't fixate. Don't stay stuck on the past. But begin seeing with new eyes, with new vision. See, He is doing a new thing. I believe God wants to do a new thing through every person that's here today. But you got to look ahead. What new thing might God want to do in you and through you? You know, once we get our eyes fixed ahead, fixed on Jesus, there's something else that we got to do. We got to commit. We got to commit ourselves. It says there, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before Him, He endured. He endured the cross. He saw us trapped in our sin, and He endured. He endured the cross. Why? For a greater joy, which is all of us. He did it for us. And because of the commitment Jesus made, Paul says, so let all of us, you know, let all of us run with endurance, like our leader, the race that's set before us. And I just got to tell you, gang, if you want to complete a race, you got to commit to it. So what race has God marked out for you? I know for some of you, already know what you need to leave behind. And for some of us, it's just a good question to ask. God, you know, open my eyes. Help me see. The problem is some people don't like to commit to anything. They don't like to commit to studying, rehearsing, working, marriage, raising kids. And they don't like committing to these things because commitment is hard and it restricts their freedom. John Eldridge, in his book, Resilient, he writes about a bunch of hippies who in 1969, they threw off all restrictions and they moved to this island, the island of Kauai. And a spirit of total freedom, they lived naked in tree houses in what was called Taylor Camp. It was like the ultimate hippie fantasy. Eldridge writes these words, honestly, it sounds pretty good at first. Living in paradise, no 9-to-5 job, no mortgage, no bills, no worry. Just lie around, play music, have sex, romp in the ocean, naked, not afraid. But the drug abuse and the sexual foraging damaged a lot of people. He writes, many never recovered. One of them said, most of my friends died of overdose. Some of them are still in mental institutions. He says, I barely escaped. Taylor Camp came to a violent end. It was burned to the ground. Why? Because freedom without commitment isn't freedom. Freedom without a commitment to marriage is destructive. Freedom without a commitment to friendship, to work, to faith. It leads to loss and regret. You know, gang, I believe this at the very core of my being. The secret to joy and fulfillment is commitment. Commitment to your faith, commitment to your spouse, commitment to your family, commitment to your work, commitment to close friends. It's not freedom from those things. It's a commitment to those things. I can tell you every joy I've ever had in my life came as a result of my commitment to my faith, to my family, and to my work. It came by running my race with endurance. So let me ask you, what race are you running? And will you run it with endurance? You know, author David Brooks writes these words, "People who radiate permanent joy have given themselves to lives of deep and lasting commitments," which is why many people today are not experiencing joy. You know, maybe I'll get a job, but a full 40 hours of honest work? Nah, that's not me. Maybe I'll attend church once a month, but every week? Nah, optional. Maybe I'll get married, but if it's too hard or too boring, just move on. You know, put a stake in the ground today. Leave your past behind and say, no more half-hearted commitments. No more bouncing from one relationship to another. Make the bold commitment. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, if you got kids or grandkids, this matters way more than I knew. I'm not sure if I know how to really to say this morning. They desperately need to see you. They need to see you lovingly, with joy, go to the church. Not just a church. They need to joyfully see you giving to the Lord and giving to the church. They need to see you committed to friendships and to the people around you. I mean, why would they commit? Why would they commit to anything if it wasn't modeled before them? You know, I spent most of my life, over half of it, just going after what I wanted. Had a budget. Didn't apply when I wanted something. Wanted to be with family, except when I wanted to be somewhere else more. Lived my life going after what I wanted. And here's what I've discovered. I discovered that there's not enough of me to fulfill me. There's just not enough of me to fulfill me. If I try to serve myself, if it's all about me, there's not enough of me to satisfy and to fill the void in my life. I just found that these words of Jesus are absolutely true, that in order to find your life, you have to lose your life. What Jesus said is true. To find life, you got to lose yourself. You know, anyone here today need a new life? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't get pulled back into the ditch anymore. And so I just wonder, what new thing might God want to do in your life? If you're stuck on something, in your past like a relational failure, bad memory, maybe it's time to look up. Get your eyes on Jesus, who loves you. He's crazy about you. Fix your eyes on Him. Don't look back. Let go of it. Because you do know what He died for was not just so we could have a nice life today. But when we open up His Word, He started telling us in the very first pages that He has a future, that He's prepared a place, that He wants us with Him, and that everything we do, that as we're living our life and as we're coming and as we're worshiping, as we're lifting up His name, that we're doing all of this because we know where we're going. In fact, the Bible says we're not citizens here. We're aliens here because our real home is the one that He prepared for us. And when we get our eyes fixed on Jesus and let go of the stuff that's behind us, it changes the way that we live. We do it different. So I ask you again, what do you need? What do you need to let go of? What new thing is God calling you to do in your life? So, Father, today, man, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your love. I thank You that Your love extended to us. And, Lord, we know that most of us have that human tendency to hang on to the past. And sometimes it's looking back longingly with something that looks good now because we're dealing with something that's not so easy today. And for some of us, it's shame, it's regret, it's things we wish we could take back, things that we cannot do over. And we hang on to them and they hold us back. And somehow it doesn't seem that You could possibly love us with all of the cracks and breaks and blemishes. But I pray today, Father, that You would speak to that individual who feels unusable, that they lift up their eyes, that they'd see You, that every one of us would see You and get a hold of You, lay aside the stuff from yesterday. Don't look back anymore, but look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need Your help. Go with us. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Glad we're here today. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great rest of your day.
Been walking to a city I cannot see. Through the depths of the valley where the sun can't